The median sales price of a home in Q1 of 2024 was over $420,000. I know for many of you, homes sell for way more than that where you live. The great news is that there are plenty of places where you can buy properties with good cash flow in great areas for $100,000 or less. I'm coming out with a free training in a few weeks that's going to teach you exactly what you need to do to invest out of state successfully. And you can watch it at your own pace. In the meantime, I have two free resources that I want you to download today. The first is a remote landlord's toolkit. This toolkit is going to empower you to overcome the concerns that you have about managing rental properties remotely. The second is a creative financing playbook. This is going to provide you with proven strategies to finance your real estate deals. You can find the links to these resources in the description of this episode, or you can go to blackrealestatedialogue.com and hit the resources tab. So be sure to download your free resources today. I mean, it's free, right? You have nothing to lose. You have everything to gain. Download your guys today.
Excuse me. May I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 220. Hope everybody's doing good. A few quick announcements before we jump into this one. If you haven't already, make sure you leave us a rating and review. It helps us go up in the rankings, helps us reach more people, helps us spread this message to our community all over the world. And you know this information is important, so I look forward to hearing from you. If you do leave a rating and review, I will definitely shout you out on the show and show you some love. I just want to say thank you all so much for your support. I really do appreciate it. It means a lot and it goes a long way. This is going to be an interesting episode. We are going to talk about foreclosures, but we're going to talk about commercial real estate foreclosures in the office space. So without further ado, let's get into it. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue. Make sure you subscribe to the show. Make sure you leave a rating and review. I would greatly appreciate it. So, big topic today. Today, we're going to talk about commercial real estate. So, in California, commercial real estate foreclosures have increased by 405% in the last year. Nationwide, commercial real estate foreclosures are up 117%. So, in this episode, we're going to talk about two buildings that are being sold for 90% off. We're going to talk about why commercial real estate foreclosures have increased so much. And then also what's being done with empty office buildings, which I think is very interesting. So make sure you stick around for that. So first, let's hear about a building in San Francisco that's being sold for 90% off.
It is a San Francisco office tower that was once the home of several businesses, but it just sold at an eye-popping discount. The new owner of the building bought it at 90% off the price it sold for in 2016. It's just one of the signs the city is still struggling with massive office vacancies downtown. But as NBC Bay Area's Sergio Quintana reports, there's a sign a turnaround may be coming.
At the corner of Market and 6th Streets is the historic David Hughes building. Right now it's empty with a large for lease sign posted over the first floor entrance. Just a few years ago, this was a bustling office space. But today, the sale price of this tower is a surprise for people who live and work nearby.
So this building sold for $62 million in 2016, and it just sold at auction for $6.5 million. The crazy thing to me is that later on in the clip, someone said that there is a growing belief in a recovery. And they said, I'm trying not to laugh. They said, interest in leasing has been on an upswing in the last year. In my opinion, it's going to take a long time for anything to turn around, but I need to explain so you understand what I mean. So I was looking at a chart from sanfrancisco.gov. So you know it's legit. It's from their city. And so back in 2020, New York, San Francisco, LA, Austin, and Seattle, every city but LA had vacancies in the single digits for office space. Now, if we fast forward to March 2024, those numbers have increased. Seattle, 22%, Austin, 23%, LA, 27%. New York, 18%, San Francisco leading the pack with 32%. and New York City being the only city that remained under 20%. So obviously, there's a problem here, right? Even walking around downtown LA, it's not the same, right? I live in LA. It's not the same. There's way less people, and it's really not a pleasant experience walking around. There's just a lot of things going on that would make people not really want to be there and make companies probably not be comfortable having their employees down there, among cost and other things. Those are my thoughts. And again, these offices are empty for a reason. Companies have left cities altogether. People are working remotely, and many other issues are happening in the area, in particular when you think about a place like San Francisco. Let me know your thoughts on that. I'm curious about your thoughts on that. So, if you thought that was bad, it gets worse in Chicago. Let's check this out.
I saw where a 185 square foot building in Chicago was sold for $2.5 million. In 2013, it was bought for $22 million. And we're talking about a 90% haircut. I don't know anything about commercial real estate, but golly, I would love to own that building on the screen right now for $2.5 million. So I guess there are opportunities out there, right?
Yeah, I mean, there have been opportunities in commercial for the last 2 years. And again, I think once again, it's kind of everybody's sort of holding their breath, waiting to see what happens with the interest rates. And the longer that rates are high, the higher the odds that we're going to see cracks in this sector.
So that was crazy. Something else to keep in mind is that the office vacancy rate in Chicago Central Business District was 20% at the end of 2023, and it's probably going to get worse. So one thing that's clear is that we have a huge issue here, okay? And it's important for us to understand why this is happening. So back in 2020, commercial real estate foreclosures, they actually hit record lows. Lenders were also offering commercial loan forbearance to help borrowers. I'm sure many of you remember having forbearance and things of that nature on the residential side. The problem is that most of these agreements have already expired, and a lot of that money is due soon. And so I was looking at an article from Fox Business, and it mentioned that about $1.5 trillion in commercial mortgage debt is due by the end of 2025. But steeper borrowing costs, coupled with tighter credit conditions and a decline in property values brought on by remote work, which we've talked about, have increased the risk of default. It goes on to say roughly $929 billion worth of commercial real estate loans are set to mature this year, according to the Mortgage Bankers Associations. Borrowers may not have no choice but to refinance with significantly higher interest rates or sell their properties at a steep loss. And as we can see, there are properties being sold at an extremely steep loss. We're talking about 90%. That doesn't happen if there's not a crisis. That doesn't happen if there's not a tremendous issue in the space, in my opinion. So there are a few states where the commercial real estate foreclosure crisis is the absolute worst. So in New York, there was a total of 61 commercial foreclosures in March 2024. And to put that into perspective, a 5% increase from the previous month, and it's a 65% increase from a year ago. Then in Florida, there was a 30% increase from February to March and a 107% increase from last year. In Texas, there was a 31% increase from February, excuse me, and a 129% increase from last year. And lastly, New Jersey saw a 31% increase from the previous month and a 133% increase from last year. So it's not just in California, it's literally in some of these major cities all over the country. Now, in my opinion, I believe that these office buildings should be converted into apartments, specifically apartments that those who are making the median income or less can afford. Because a lot of times what happens is that, you have these new buildings and things like that, and the average everyday person can't afford it. There's many reasons why they're priced that way, and we'll talk about that in a second. Now, before you say it's not possible, let's check out what this clip had to say.
What we're seeing right now is a lot of developers and owners making that decision to go residential because there's a lack of confidence in the office market. But there's also real confidence and there's a real housing need, especially in places like Manhattan.
At 160 Water Street, not far from Wall Street, Painter's firm is converting a 1972 office building 24 stories high into nearly 600 apartments.
So one thing I want to make clear is not as simple as saying, hey, we're going to make this entire building apartments. There's a lot more that goes into it. And it's important for you to pay very close attention to this next segment so you understand exactly what I mean.
What do you have to do as a designer to make this into housing?
The first thing we actually do is analyze the buildings. Do they have the right bones? Do they have the right structure, the right depth from the elevators to the windows to make perfect units?
160 Water fit the bill. But the core of the building, 60 feet from the windows, was dark, uninhabitable, and useless for apartments.
We've demolished it out, enclosed it, put some mechanical shafts in there, and we're actually able to redeploy that space, that density that we had in there, to the roof to create some great rooftop amenity that has views across the city.
Not every office building will be the best match for a residential conversion. I do think as many office buildings as possible should be converted. Here is the challenge. The challenge is that it's very expensive and the layout of the space may not lend itself to being converted in a way that's optimal. In my opinion, I think the government should subsidize these kind of projects because not only are they very expensive, they could also maybe require the buildings to have a higher number of affordable units. I think they should require that regardless, and affordable for those making at least around the median income, in my opinion, to make it more accessible to people. Now, if there is no subsidy, it becomes very difficult to put more affordable units into there because at the end of the day, the developers need to make money, right? So I believe the government has a great opportunity to step up and step in and support in this way. Let me know your thoughts on that. That's what I think. And let's be honest, the government wastes so much money on things that aren't important, right? I'm sure we can all attest to this wherever you live. So if we can do that and to waste money on other things, why not spend money on housing? Why not spend money on helping these developers to convert and make it affordable for as many people as possible? Now, the great thing is there's been a lot of progress nationwide with office conversion. So in 2021, there were only 12,100 conversions in the pipeline. If we fast forward to 2024, there are over 55,000. So that's a tremendous increase. And there's also a handful of cities who are leading the way in these conversions, which I think is awesome. And I was reading a chart from DataWrapper. And so Washington, D.C. is actually leading. So right now, their office to apartment pipeline is almost 6,000 units. And in New York, over 5,000, Dallas, over 3,000, Chicago, almost 3,000, and LA, about 2,500. And there are 15 other cities all throughout. So West Coast, Midwest, East Coast, which is good. It won't solve everything, but it's a step in the right direction. And I think it's good that a lot of these buildings are being repurposed where people can live. All right. So nice and quick one today. I just wanted to give some context around the commercial real estate foreclosures. I know we talk a lot about residential, but I think it's important to understand what's going on with real estate at large. You know, these things impact day-to-day life. These things impact cities tremendously. And you listening, you know, your central business district or office district, whatever they call it, or downtown, it may look a lot different right now than it did 4 years ago. And it's probably going to look a lot different in the next few years. So I'm curious and we'll see what happens. All right. Well, thank you all so much. Appreciate you taking some time to check out this episode. Make sure you leave a rating and review. I cannot wait to hear from you. Thank you all so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.